This budget is a reflection on the government that delivered it. Out of touch, out of ideas and out of time. And never, never has so much been spent to achieve so little. No answers, no urgency and no leadership. Rents are out of control and you have done nothing. 1 million people are on waiting lists and no real step change. Energy prices are spiralling and your plan is to increase them further with carbon taxes. Budget 2020 should have responded to the major challenges we face as a society. Challenge in housing, challenge in healthcare, challenges in the cost of living crisis. It should have responded to the crisis in housing. It shouldn't be ever normal or tolerated that we are now facing average rents in this state of €1,350, or if you live in this capital city, that the average rent is €1,800 per month. It should never be accepted or normalised that students are having to couch surf, they're having to defer entry to college places, they're queuing up for food banks in Cork, for God's sake, and all of this is down to the pressure on prices and accommodation and the sky-high rents that they are faced with. It should have responded to the challenges facing patients and the staff who work in our health service, with more than 900,000 people on waiting lists, including nearly 100,000 children. And it should have responded appropriately to the cost of living crisis, with parents facing childcare fees that are amounting to a second mortgage and households facing rising energy bills. Budget 2022 should have been a budget with vision, a budget that was targeted, a budget for change, so that if you were a renter, or if you were a young couple that was setting out to purchase your first home, or if you were a parent that was struggling with the cost of childcare, or if you were just a family struggling with the cost of energy prices, we should have heard a minister that stood up today and said, "We heard you, we hear you, and we're responding back." But that is not what we heard today. We heard more of the same. It needed to be a budget for change. And it reflects a government, as I said, that's out of touch and that is out of ideas. I'll follow and evaluate some of the specific measures in the budget, but first I want to also set out what could have been done, what should have been done and what would be done if Sinn Féin were in government. Bigela budget fihe fihe do frigra horch in the pre wuklan at a road marhauhi. The duhlan ya tihiakte is lente is the code is maralte at a gardu. Bigela shin rialte shaw frigra a horch at in duhlan at a rev chile agus rev ebrani. Bigela frigra a horch at a gerkim tihiakte. Bigela frigra a horch at in duhlan at a rove nehar. At a bre er an foran a obrin sin chóras slainte. Agus bhí gae frigra hórtir an costas maralta at a gairdu a rísht is a ríshte ele. Bhí gae gamew an budget fíhe dó, mar wadjit le tishkint agus budget ar sonna herau. Mas rodé gur kísihu a bhí na la clán at a geri an ciat chachachianart, na tushmari ag strachalt la costasí Erd Kurum Yani, not Chile, at a extrahalchra price ni funyuv at a gardu. Jeda gome muninya, gor ahanyan wajitshaw and duhlan at a road, agusgur rigger and wajitshaw is a kin the heel, a yosu, agusil the highly, not a yani. Bige gome when budgetshaw, budget or son the heria. Ta aspa all vien, lishan wajit. Chip doling lektish and scale, the duhlan at a road. Sho realtis and muhurimse at a gan kiel, gan smuiche, agusete. A good arm is the. This budget, Leascan Corlea, is an opportunity not just to look forward to the year ahead, but also to look back on the year that has been. And I want to acknowledge the hardship that so many have felt over the past year and year and a half, whether as a result of bereavement, of isolation, or job loss. And to pay tribute in particular to our healthcare professionals, our carers, our essential workers, all of those whom without we as a country could not have come through this pandemic. I want to also recognise the role and the efforts of our public service workers, who through introductions such as the measures of rolling out the pandemic unemployment payment and the wage subsidy scheme, demonstrated that at times that this state can innovate and respond back to the needs of our citizens. We can only learn from this experience, but know that when great reforms and innovations are required, the state can deliver. It is a warning to the cynics who tell us that nothing can change. They can, and for the better. We face many challenges as a society, but we also face opportunities. Noise and distraction from the British government shouldn't deter us from finding practical solutions to ensure that the protocol can work effectively and smoothly. And I welcome allocations in the Brexit Adjustment Reserve Fund that will help mitigate the impact of Brexit. We should build on the growth of North-South trade to develop our All-Ireland economy and to benefit all of the citizens and regions. A crucial task as we begin the great project of national unity and reconciliation. We face great changes on the international tax landscape, now with 136 countries and jurisdictions signing up to the OECD agreement to ensure that multinationals pay their fair share in a globalised and digital age. Under this agreement, our economy can remain competitive, but only if we invest in those areas that are just as crucial for onward investment and job creation as our tax code is, in housing, in childcare, in infrastructure, in research, in education and skills. And we face, left in court, the great challenges of climate change, which also brings opportunities to create new and well-paying jobs while improving the quality of life for all of our people. We can meet all of these challenges, but it will require ambition and it requires the right choices. The pandemic exposed weaknesses in our society, in our public services and in our economy. During the general election of 2020, people voted for change, and that desire for change was only strengthened during the pandemic. And it is through budgets that government paved the way for change or consolidate the status quo. That is the measure against which we will assess this budget. Workers and families have been for some time dealing with the rising cost of living, with unaffordable childcare costs, rip-off rents or mortgage repayments, and the cost of basic goods and services remaining stubbornly high. The cost of living squeeze is set to continue, with a further surge in gas and electricity prices expected in the weeks and months ahead. And it is now expected that the average household will see energy bills rise by 400 and 500 euros over the next 12 months. And we know that this is going to hit poor households hardest. So given this prospect, what does the government do? The government decides in its wisdom to increase energy prices further. That is simply wrong. Anybody will tell you that. It is wrong for the government to plough ahead with another increase in carbon taxes as people are seeing an increase in energy prices and fuel prices, an increase that will put additional financial pressure on households already struggling with utility and home heating bills. An increase in the carbon tax, let me say this clearly, won't provide a single alternative fuel source or means of travel for already pressed households. It is a con job. That's what it is, and that's the reality. Over the past 12 months, you have increased these costs twice. So according to the CSO, home heating oil increased by 40% in the last year. According to the AA survey, the price of petrol and diesel increased by 25% last year. But over that 12-month period, you have decided in your wisdom to increase the fill of an oil tank by 40 euro. Every time we fill our petrol or diesel tank, it's another 3 euro. And every time we buy a bag of coal, it's 2 euro. It is a con job. It is about penalising and not incentivising. And Sinn Féin would not increase the carbon tax at a time when workers and families face an income squeeze and energy prices hikes in the time ahead. This government claims to have responded to the rise in energy prices by increasing the rate of fuel allowance and expanding the threshold. Of course, you aren't telling the full story. In reality, not even nearly anywhere we see the number of people who should be getting the fuel allowance, that it's only a small number of people who are actually getting them. You've allocated just 3.4 million in this budget to expand eligibility, and the government aren't doing enough. We have shown in our alternative budget how we would have allocated nearly 10 times that amount, with 30 million euro in expansion. Indeed, the government's measures are a poor compensation for their own carbon tax increases, not the wider increase in energy prices. So, as I said, Minister, it is a con job. You're taking with one hand and giving with the other. And the reality is, as I said here last year, when you increase this tax, all you're going to do is make families poorer. All you're going to do is push up the prices for people in rural communities to get around. And it's not about dealing with the issues of climate change that are real and have to be tackled in a head-on manner. A Sinn Féin government would also have established a utility debt fund to help many families who, as we know, are locked out of the fuel allowance but also struggle with the cost of rising utility costs. And crucially, what we would have done and what you should have done is you should have increased all social welfare rates, core social welfare rates, by €10, but unfortunately, once again, the government hasn't adopted these proposals. As a result of the pandemic and public health restrictions, tens of thousands of people became unemployed overnight and they saw their incomes plummet. Immediately, the pandemic unemployment payment was introduced and a rate set of €350. And this alone showed us that the basic rate of €203 was not enough to get by on for so many people at that point when they rely on our social protection system. And even before the pandemic, energy and child poverty were among the greatest challenges that we face as a society. A recent report by Social Justice Ireland found that 190,000 children currently experience poverty, with 630 of our citizens living below the poverty line. Now, we have to change that. Yet we tolerate a social protection system where each and every payment is below the poverty line. And the budget today that our ministers announced will continue that scenario. Sinn Féin has long called for an end to the political football that surrounds social welfare rates during the budget season by bringing forward social welfare rates that are above the poverty line and towards the minimal essential standard of living. This budget could and should have started that work. A Sinn Féin government would have increased working age payments by €10 as a first step in the path of reform and to revitalise our social safety net for workers and families. The government, we regret, has taken a very different approach. It is important to put all of this in context. Given core social welfare rates have seen no increase since March 2019, despite the rising cost of living and recent energy hikes. Instead, the government have increased core social welfare rates by a fiver, an increase that doesn't even keep up with the 3% rise in prices over the last 12 months. Earlier this year, we had a report from the European Disability Forum, and they found that 38% of people with disability in the state are at risk of poverty or social exclusion. We need to protect and support our citizens with disability and ensure that they can not only get by, but that they thrive. And Sinn Féin would have furthered that objective by increasing the disability allowance and the blind pension by €10. And again, I regret that the government didn't follow our lead and implement that proposal. While we welcome the €5 increase in the state pension, something that Sinn Féin has called for, this government is committed to increasing the pension age, forcing those who have worked all their lives to work longer into the future. And while there's no measure in this budget to restrict the generous tax reliefs that are there for gold-plated pensions. But let me be clear, and Minister, I'll put you on notice in relation to this here. Sinn Féin will oppose tooth and nail any attempt that you have to increase the state pension age, and we will defend workers' rights to retire at the age of 65 with access to a pension. The government claimed to have responded to the cost of living with the tax package that they say would ease the burden on households. But let's drill into the details. The government have decided to increase the standard rate band by €1,500 at a cost of more than €300 million. This is a tax measure that excludes 80% of income earners. 8 out of 10 people do not benefit from this measure that costs the Irish taxpayers over €300 million. That's 2 million people that will not benefit from this, because this measure is designed at those that are on the higher earners. Yes, people like yourself, Minister, will benefit, and many others will benefit, but in reality, do you really need an extra €400 in your back pocket? Again, this is not a targeted measure. It is a bad use of resources at a time of crisis in so many other areas. The reality is a worker, according to your tax package, will see about €2 a week in their pocket as a result of this, while those on the higher end, as I said, like yourself, will receive over €400 a year. It is not good for use of resources, and it means nothing in reality to somebody who is paying, as I said, €1,800 in rent in the city or €1,300 in other places across the state, or for that family who's paying €800 in childcare fees. You could have used that, and you could have been targeted, and you could have reduced the cost of living for those people that are hardest impacted by it. The government claims the tax package is designed to protect households against rising inflation. But renters will be scratching their heads at that claim. The government introduced a tax package that will protect the highest income earners against rising inflation, but at the same time, you've brought in legislation that allows landlords to increase rents with inflation. And we know that rents have risen by an average of 7% across the state, with the average rent in Dublin now standing at €1,800. And we as Sinn Féin have called for a ban on rent increase over the next 3 years. But beyond that, we want real relief for renters. 300,000 people that are seeing their rents go up every single year, and we wanted to make sure that they would have money back into their pocket up to €1,500 by a refundable tax credit. Now, why and under God did this government collectively just decide to ignore the hardship that renters face? Are you not aware of what's going on? Do you not understand the pressure, the anxiety that families are facing every single week trying to make ends meet in this regard? No challenge threatens the living standards of our citizens more than the housing crisis. The housing policy over the past decade has failed under Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. A dependence on private developers and on institutional investors to deliver supply hasn't worked for those renting or indeed those trying to buy a home. I think nearly everybody accepts that now, bar the government. Although who it did serve, and even the millionaires are telling you that now, is it served the big developers, it has served the landlords, it served the institutional investors. Over the past decades, rent prices have increased. Over the past decade, rent prices have increased by two-thirds, while house prices continue to rapid climb towards the height that they were during the Celtic Tiger madness. And who's the victims in all of this? It's ordinary workers and it's ordinary families. But a dysfunctional housing market can be fixed, and the Irish people need to know that. They need to have hope that there is solutions there. Sinn Féin, like the ESRI, have proposed doubling the state investment in social and genuinely affordable housing for rent and purchase. We have shown what could be done and what should be done. 20,000 social and affordable homes in 2022 and the years following. This level of ambition is not aspirational. It is absolutely necessary if we are to meet the needs of citizens and avoid future hardship. For several years, we've been calling for an end to the scourge of dereliction and of vacancy through the introduction of a vacant property tax in order to put vacant homes into use for workers and families who need affordable accommodation. We have for years called for an end to the lucrative tax breaks and incentives that have not only facilitated but encouraged bulk buying of homes by investment funds that lock aspiring buyers out of home ownership and are driving up rents for everybody else. But you've ignored that again. The government instead provided exemptions and you provided loopholes that has kept this in place today, ensuring that home buyers and renters continue to be at a disadvantage to property investors where their only interest is profit and price hikes. No tax for them, but by God, if you're trying to keep your family warm this winter, then there's a tax hike for you. And that's the priorities of this government. The policies we have provided provide real solutions to deliver the housing needs for our citizens, increasing the supply of affordable homes and cutting rents. But the government refused to bend, allowing property investors to run riot all the while. In this budget, you've continued with demand-side measures, such as the shared equity scheme, that pour more fuel on the fire by locking in unaffordable house prices and rents, propping up the economic position of landlords and developers during this time. And this is the sixth housing budget of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and underpins Minister Dara O'Brien's new housing plan, a plan that is an extension, not a departure, of the previous plans of government, a dysfunctional housing system that is in crisis. We in Sinn Féin have brought forward proposals over and over again to provide relief for renters and affordable supply for home buyers. And everyone accepts we need a fundamental change in our housing policy, as I said, everybody bar the government. And today's housing budget is hugely disappointing. There is only 420 additional million in capital funding for housing. A Sinn Féin government called for double the investment. That's €1.6 billion additional. That's what the ESRI was calling for. Four times what you have provided in additionality, delivering 20,000 social and affordable houses. That's the urgency. That's what's needed. If you really believe there's an emergency there, then you need to step up to the plate and you need to deliver. But you didn't do that today. The government continues with the same unambitious budgets of the past. It subsidised landlords and developers with absolutely nothing, zero, nada, for renters in this budget. Now, you've introduced a zoned land tax. You're not going to introduce it for another... You've announced it, but you're not going to introduce it for another 2 years. Like, seriously, do you not get the urgency here? But even worse than that, worse than even the delay that is not going to be there for 2 years, you introduce it at a rate of 3%, and you get rid of the 7% levy that's on the same land. You couldn't make this up, Minister. Again, a sneaky little policy that actually benefits those with land that aren't being in productive use. And indeed, the cost of land, the cost of those sites, are increasing by more than 3% per year. So there's no disincentive for them to just sit and do nothing. Again, it shows a government that are out of ideas, out of ambition, lacking the will to deal with this. And seriously, you are out of time on this issue. And I think the public have moved way beyond you because they know that this government can't fix the housing crisis. There is nothing new or set in stone to deal with the issue of vacant homes. There's only 60 million. 60 million for redress for those families and homeowners who are a victim of mica and pirate scandal, and nothing for the fire safety to fix. Now, the Minister, he didn't mention it in his speech, but it is in his book, 20 million extra. That brings it up to 40 for the defective concrete block. That is an insult, Minister. I marched and proudly did as a person from Donegal, but I wasn't alone. There were thousands of us right from across the state who know the right thing has to be done by those homeowners who are in those homes because of the light touch and no regulation when you were in government. This is the Fianna Fáil era that is crumbling round their heads, and you announced today an extra 20 million. That's an insult, and you need to rectify that very, very quickly and bring reprieve to those families and say that there will be 100% redress and families will not be waiting for long times into the future. And you need to make an appropriate allocation, which we have argued should be 200 million next year, not the 20 million that you have proposed as an increase. This budget is a disappointment for renters who have provided, and they are being provided with no relief and no answers. It is a disappointment for aspiring homebuyers who, in the light of the measures announced by the government and adopted by the government, face another year of rising house prices and a lack of affordable supply. But our message in Sinn Féin is clear. The housing crisis can be fixed, but only with a government with the ideas and the will to deliver, regardless of the opposition from vested interests who are served by the status quo and who are served by this government. As so many struggle to secure a mortgage for their first home, others struggle with the cost of childcare. And there's a clear difference between Sinn Féin and the government when it comes to this issue. The government parties have faith in the private market and the profit motive to deliver goods and services that we in Sinn Féin believe are best delivered as a public service. Families are being fleeced by the cost of childcare. The average full-time fees stand at €750 per month. Childcare costs here are the most expensive in Europe, with a recent UNICEF report saying that childcare here is among the least affordable in the developed world. In the developed world, Minister. That's on your shoulders. You know this. Because this isn't by accident, is because of a direct result of government policy. This government invests less in childcare than anywhere else in the developed world. As a result, many families are crippled with childcare costs, with many parents who would like to work forced to stay at home. For others, they face more fundamental choices, such as whether they can even afford to start a family. And this is a real and damaging consequences for children, for parents, and indeed for our economy. A dysfunctional childcare sector where fees are too high, wages are too low, and not enough places exist. So Sinn Féin has called for a new model of childcare provision, one that can be delivered, one that is delivered and operational in other countries right across Europe. A Sinn Féin government would establish a public childcare and early years service, making an investment to deliver accessible and affordable childcare for parents. We would do this by assuming the wage bill and additional overheads of the sector, while at the same time reducing fees. This new direction in childcare provision could have started and should have started next year. You could have stood here and adopted our policy, and we would give it to you, and we'd be glad of it if you announced it, which would slash fees by a third in 2022 and by another third in 2023. But what have you done? Instead of grasping that challenge and moving forward with bold reforms, the government have stolen our policies and you've made a dog's dinner of them. That's the reality of it. It's ridiculous. Instead of bringing forward a plan to significantly reduce childcare fees for families hit the hardest, families with children under the age of three, you've brought forward measures that locks in these unaffordable levels of fees. This is crazy stuff. Like, this is one of the biggest pressures on people at this point in time, and you haven't reduced those fees by a single euro. And that's, again, a demonstration of the lack of targeted approach in relation to this government. Minister, if you haven't heard it from parents, then let me tell you, childcare fees need to be reduced, Minister, not locked in, right? Minister, you've decided in this budget to reduce the banking levy by €63 million. I note that in your written speech you had a different set of words where you talked about excluding Ulster Bank and others, but you're reducing it by €63 million, despite the fact that the taxpayer is still on the hook for a lot of this money, €64 billion that was ploughed into the sector to bail these banks out a decade ago. I simply, you know, I would say I can't understand this measure, but again, you're a minister who again decides that they don't have to pay any tax on their profits for the next couple of decades, so therefore it shouldn't be surprising that you're reducing the banking levy. Sinn Féin would have extended it, and we would ensure that the banks continue to pay €150 million to the Exchequer next year and the years beyond. I do welcome the budget measure to reduce public transport costs for 19 to 23-year-olds by 50%, an approach that's been advocated by Sinn Féin, including proposals to provide free fares for all under-18s. It's obvious that the Minister was reading our alternative budget, because last week he was saying that we shouldn't do this, that we needed to increase capacity. However, this measure does need to coincide with increased capacity for it to be effective, something I and my party will scrutinise in the budget. We welcome the decision to relax the mean test for carers allowance. This is something that Sinn Féin and carers campaigned for, but the government hasn't gone far enough in this measure. They have postponed the move until June and allocated just €10 million for the purpose. Sinn Féin government, if we were in government, we would have opened the payment to many, many more carers, allocating €50 million, further addressing an inheritance issue and introducing a crucial issue, that is a pension for long-term carers. Our health service minister has gone through 18 months of unprecedented crisis and challenge, and I want to, on behalf of my party, acknowledge the heroic efforts and dedication of healthcare staff who have gone above and beyond to keep our patients safe and to keep our country safe. Despite their heroic efforts, the widespread support of the public and this Dáil, there is nothing in this budget to deliver fair pay or allowances for student nurses. That's disgraceful. That is absolutely disgraceful. Again, I can't believe that you haven't responded to that issue. Every day our healthcare staff have pushed through long hours and they've saved lives. They've done so despite our badly managed and underfunded healthcare system. They, like their parents, deserve a budget that responded back by increasing capacity, reducing waiting lists and putting a plan in place to improve conditions and care outcomes for staff and patients. They now face the prospect of a fast approaching winter and are not convinced that the government has the appropriate resources and planning in place. There are already more than 450 people on trolleys statewide, with emergency departments overflowing and understaffed. There are now 900,000 people on hospital waiting lists, nearly 100,000 of those are children. And this budget should have met that scale. You should have met that challenge that are faced by those in our hospital, by the staff and by the patients. But it's again reliant on outsourcing to the private sector, to agencies in private hospital. The government health measures are disappointing, to say the least. They won't deliver any new acute hospital beds above pre-committed levels and only 19 ICU beds to be delivered next year. It fails to respond to the difficulties faced by patients and staff in our hospital. We called for funding to deliver 600 additional new public beds and 34 additional ICU beds. That's the ambition, that's the energy, that's the determination that was needed, that should have been delivered. The government, you'll blame COVID-19, but that's only part of the story, and we know that. Waiting lists have been increasing for unacceptable levels for a number of years. What we needed was an unprecedented level of investment that was targeted in more hospital beds, targeted in safe staffing levels, theatre capacity and diagnostics. We needed a phase change, we needed a new direction, and we needed to see commitment to building an Irish National Health Service. Trust in the government's commitment in that regard in terms of universal healthcare is at an all-time low. Sláintecare, which was to be the roadmap for universal healthcare at the point of need, called for the rolling out of free GP care by 2022 for everyone in the state, by 2022, by next year. Today, the government have provided to extend GP care for six-year-olds and seven-year-olds. Is it no wonder that every Tom, Dick and Harry is jumping ship from the Sláinte Implementation Advisory Council, and it's difficult to blame them? What you should have done is invested properly in targeted measures, boosting hospital capacity, delivering an additional 4,000 acute beds by 2028, starting with 600 to be funded next year. We recognise that investing in community services is essential to making healthcare work better, to cut waiting times, and we would have invested $200 million on improving the accessibility of primary and community services. Can I just finally say, as I'm running out of time, $24 million for mental health? This is one of the biggest crises. Additional, $24 million in additional on mental health, one of the biggest crises that are facing young and old in this state. And the lockdown and the pandemic has a huge, and that again is an insult that needs to be revisited by this government. What needed to be done, as we showed you, is ramping up investment and additional investment in mental health by €110 million. Child and adolescent mental health and primary mental health care services, expanding counselling to universal coverage and investing in dual diagnosis. Look, Minister, this is the 13th time that I've responded to the budgets, and each time there are different needs in society. But I really say this to you. Your budget has failed to recognise the crisis in housing, has failed to recognise the pressure that people are on and renters, because there's nothing there. You have locked in unaffordable prices in at childcare when you could have done something completely different. And in terms of increasing petrol and fuel costs and home heating time at a time of rising energy costs, it just baffles me. This is a government that's out of touch. Clearly, yous are out of ideas. We're willing to give you the ideas, or better off, maybe you should leave the job to us.